You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a reminder that on today's broadcast, we're going to be segueing back and forth between your questions when you call 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And your Facebook questions, which have been pouring in over the last few days. Also a reminder for those who support the ministry all this month, Forensic Faith, a homicide detective, makes the case for a more reasonable evidential Christian faith. I did an entire interview with J. Warner Wallace, the author of the book, but I say of this book in my endorsement in the book, Charles Malik, of course, he was the famed ambassador to the United States, rightly quipped, "If you win the whole world and lose the mind of the world, you will soon discover that you've not won the world. Indeed, it may turn out that you have actually lost the world." In Forensic Faith, Christian apologist Jim Wallace underscores the danger of anti-intellectualism and equips you to do something about it. This is an eminently accessible book. It's one of those books that you can read, absorb, and it will make a difference in your making the case for Christianity, not only today, but through the remainder of your life. Again, the book available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Also wanted to mention that the best place to stay up to date on what's going on with respect to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world, is by simply going to the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. And by the way, give it a like. That will be your way of contributing to the expanding outreach of the Christian Research Institute as you stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. On my Bible Answer Man Facebook page, I made a post today, and I did so after I had returned from a visit with the oncologist, a visit that I will never forget. It was like a punch to the solar plexus. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. As many of you may remember, I had a bone marrow biopsy 10 days ago. And today I went in to find out what they had found out and discovered that what they had found out is that I have a rare form of cancer. It's called mantle cell lymphoma. You know, it's pretty funny. I can't even get the word straight in my head yet. And that's what I have. Mantle cell lymphoma. And again, it's a rare cancer. The only way you treat it is with a very aggressive program of chemotherapy, which is what I'm going to go through unless the Lord supernaturally heals me. Many, many people are, they're praying for me all over the world, and I can't thank you enough. I do pray that you'll pray for the ministry of the Christian Research Institute as well. This ministry goes far beyond me. I pray that you will pray for this ministry and support it financially as well. We cannot do what we do without you. So this is what I mean when I say stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth, because it does make a difference in the lives of people all around the globe. Let me give you just a couple of examples of that. Deborah She writes, I've listened to the Bible Answer Man broadcast since I was a teenager, which quite a, of course dates me, Deborah. She goes on to say, it's been 39 wonderful years of learning about my Creator. Thank you, Hank. I will pray for you. May God continue to give you peace and offer you healing as you await the test results. Well, they're in now. And again, God can heal me. Everything is in accordance with His will. I wouldn't want anything else. Daryl in Kentucky says, you're in my prayers, Hank, and I really appreciate the ministry. I'll do one more. This is Nicole. Christina Nicole, I should say. She says, I'm a recent fan because you've only just made it into my little sphere of knowledge here in the UK with all the publicity of your troubles. Been listening to you every day now, and you and Mrs. H are on my prayer list. Thank you for telling us about your health needs. That's unbelievable. Here I have a problem, and it has stretched the ministry to places that we've never been before. So I thank the Lord for that. Well, we're going to go right to the phone calls, and then I'll take some Facebook questions later on. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. First up is Elaine, a Canadian listener listening in Alberta, Canada, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Hank. God bless you, Hank, for your ministry.
Thank you.
And also our prayers are with you for in your health.
Thank you so much.
Hank, there was a question I needed to ask. A few times I've been to different churches. I started going to different churches when I was very young. And I was baptized in different churches. Baptized in a Catholic church and baptized in a Pentecostal church and then baptized in a non-denominational church. And I was just, and then I started questioning my faith because I didn't know what born again was. And so when I went up for prayers to receive Jesus as my Savior, I wasn't baptized. And then, I think this was in a in the Alliance Church. I was about 14. And then, so I'm just wondering, what comes first, the baptism or to be born again?
Well, I think the prologue to your question kind of underscores the problem we have today. Which is we have the Orthodox community, we have the Catholic community, we have the Protestant community, and that some 30,000 varieties at this point, particularly when you take into account the independence. But I think when you look at the Christian faith, the first thing you want to understand is what is essential? What is it that you're giving your life to? And that is, by God's grace, you are saved by faith on account of Jesus Christ. And when you're saved, that means you take up your cross and you daily follow Him. So those who are saved, they are baptized, because no one is ever saved in isolation. We're always saved in community. We take communion in community. We are baptized in community. And what we're saying, not only to believers, but to the unbelieving world as well, is that we have been buried to our old life and raised to newness of life through His resurrection power. And so we, as we come up out of the waters of baptism, as it were, are saying, I am no longer the same person. I've died to my old life, and now here I am. I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I've written in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, is that the Bible as a whole clearly communicates that our righteous standing before God is by faith from first to last. That's pretty clear, because Paul writes that in cryptic fashion in Romans chapter 1. And you might recall that when the jailer asked the Apostle Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul responded, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." So baptism is the means by which we are set apart. Through baptism, we testify that we're no longer our own, that we have been bought with a price, bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and then brought into the community of the saints that have gone on before, and the saints that are with us in the present. So behind the symbol of baptism is the substance of baptism, which is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from sin. Water cleanses the skin from soil and sweat, so the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses the soul from the stain of sin. So what I want to say to you, Elaine, is there is no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. When you're baptized into the community of faith. And then you partake of the means of grace by which we can actively participate as co-consummators in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is of utmost importance. I hope you'll go to the web and look at some of the resources we have in this regard, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Let's go back to the phone lines, and I'll talk next to Eric. He's listening in North Carolina on WCGC. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how you doing? Did you got it now?
Good to talk to you.
Yes, sir. Well, I was I heard your prognosis that you said the doctor gave you, and what I was wanting to do, Doc, is a Christian brother of yours and a friend of yours. When I talked to you a couple of times, I just talked to you, matter of fact, last week, and I just got a bond with you, man. I've been watching you hearing your program. And I just want to say this, where if the Lord take you through it, he's going to take you to it. If he take you through it, he's going to take you through it. Mm. That's what I want to say to you.
Oh, Eric, thank you for that encouragement.
And then your ministry, like you said a while ago, your ministry is bigger than you. And, you know, as a matter of fact, the Lord blessing through you. The Lord working through you has helped to put Charlotte, North Carolina, and the North Carolina on the map, Doc. You know what I'm saying? Around the world.
Well, thank you so much, Eric. Your encouragement means the world to me. I just want to follow up on that too, Eric. I was in the doctor's office, and after I got my prognosis, I had to give blood because they're doing some more tests by looking at my blood. And while I was in there, there was a young lady, and it was a pretty funny story. She had come in the first time when they drew blood, and she didn't see me sitting there, so she came in and did a little dance, and her coworker kind of smiled, and then all of a sudden she saw me and goes, whoops, like this, and I said, you just made my day. Well, we built a little bit of a relationship because I've had blood taken now 3 or 4 times, and today, this young lady, I mean, she's absolutely radiant. She has this beautiful dark skin and sparkling eyes. And she looked at me and she knew that I was a bit somber, although I was trying to smile. And she said, I want you to know something. You are in my prayers. I've been praying for you. And then she gave me a big hug. And I'll tell you what, I was just floored by that. And the other nurse that had been watching this all happen, when I was checking out, she popped out into the reception place where I was standing, and she came out and waved at me. And so, I built a few relationships there, and of all things, here there are people even there that are praying for me. So I'm deeply grateful, Eric, for your prayers, for your word of encouragement, for your friendship, and may God bless you and use you for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom.
Amen. And then thank you, brother. Just a little bit more I want to say to you. that, you know, when I was talking to you a few days ago, we talked about them women, Lord, using them women. Yes, he did. And they go them women again, the Lord would use.
That's a great insight. You can hear from the music here. Eric, I'm up against a hard break. We're going to be back on the other side of the break with more of your questions live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. I'm also going to go to your Facebook questions. I sort of covenanted to take them as they come in. And so I got this big list in front of me. I'm kind of working my way through it. Hope I get to you. You post your Facebook questions on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. Also there, I'm just looking at the camera after I come back from the doctor's office and telling you from my heart what's going on. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
If there is one gift I wish to give you, says J. Warner Wallace, it is the certainty that comes with loving and knowing the truth and developing a forensic faith. Wallace's latest book, Forensic Faith, will help Christians know what they believe, why they believe, and in whom they believe in order to stand in the battle for life and truth. Christianity is on trial, and the stakes are of eternal importance. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith, a homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable evidential Christian faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Christianity is on trial. Skeptics and critics set out to poke and prod followers of the Lord Jesus into thinking they believe in fairy tales. Tragically, many Christians are unprepared for the battle, and they surrender truth to flimsy and lame arguments. What is at stake? C.S. Lewis said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important." To develop a clear, evidence-based faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, read J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, a homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense. And we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, is a valuable and practical resource for every Christian who wants to know that his or her faith makes sense and who wants to engage with seekers and skeptics based on the solid evidence of their faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a reminder that those who join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy of my complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition to you, a family member or a friend. We need many of you listening to my voice to consider standing shoulder to shoulder with us by being regular contributors to the ministry. Again, you can check this out on the web at equip.org. I got a little stack of Bible Answer, the complete Bible Answer books on my desk, ready to be personalized. I'm going to do that either tonight or tomorrow. Now the question is, am I going to go to the live calls or am I going to go to Facebook? I think I'm going to take a Facebook and then a live call and see how we go from there. Wanda, this is a Facebook question. Mr. Hanegraaff, would you discuss the Mary issue? I attempted to share the historic church with my dad. He just said it's Catholic. And so it shut him down. It shut the discussion down as well. You know, I think what's really important when you talk about Mary is to make a distinction between what Roman Catholics believe in this regard and what the Orthodox community believes in this regard. And I would say what all Christians believe in this regard. The Christian community outside of Roman Catholicism does not believe in the bodily assumption of Mary into heaven. That's a recent dogma. And these dogmas come into vogue by the Pope speaking ex cathedra from the chair of Peter, and then they become a theology within the Roman Catholic Church. We also do not believe in the Immaculate Conception. Mary was born with a broken gene, just like all of us are born with a broken gene. We do, however, as Christians, venerate Mary. It is safe to say that all Christians look to Mary as an example. She has been a lowly servant of the Lord, but yet the one who in the fullness of time undid what the first woman did. The first woman was deceived. Sin came into the world. We talk about Adam's sin. The sin of Adam and Eve, collectively. But the second woman, Mary, conceived. And think about the fact that in the fullness of time, from all of the people that have ever existed on the planet, she was chosen by God to bring Emmanuel, God incarnate, into the world. And so she deserves our veneration. And I am so glad that I am part of a faith in which a woman can be revered as the quintessential example of theosis. And so we cannot say, no one can justly say at least, that somehow or other the Christian faith is a patriarchal faith. Let me go back to our live callers. David, he's listening in Illinois, Sirius XM 131. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. It's an honor and privilege to speak with you. First-time caller. I've recently started listening to you via Sirius Radio in the last 4 to 6 weeks, and I absolutely look forward to this time of day every day on my drive home from work. and I have about an hour commute to work to listen to your program. So I just want to encourage you, let you know I'm praying for you as well. So I wanted to make that comment before I ask my question. So God bless you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, and thank you. I'm reading your book, Afterlife. I can't put it down. I picked it up a few weeks ago, and I absolutely love it. I love the depth of your content and the scripture. But quick question, only because just for some clarity, and you're addressing it in the book where I'm at right now, where you're in the chapter where you're talking about hell. In the death of Jesus on the cross, I know you're teaching from the scripture, and you pointed out, and I've heard on your program before, that when Jesus said it is finished, that obviously the debt being paid by God the Son for our sins was finished. That obviously, in the Christian world, and here's my question, I'm sorry to be long-winded, is did Jesus die spiritually, meaning separated from the Father? When I became born again and a Christian believer 30-plus years ago, I was in a movement that really believed and taught and preached heavily on that. And I know there's some debate in the Apostles' Creed, and you mentioned that in your book, too, how it was added later, how he descended into hell. So I'll be quiet and kind of let you address that. I again, just appreciate your ministry. I'm praying for you. I pray the Lord just touch you and your body. And my prayers are with you and your wife and your family. So God bless you.
Thank you so much. I love the prologue to your question and your kind words. Let me say with certainty that Jesus did, in fact, go to the abode of the dead. But when you say that Jesus Christ went to the abode of the dead, you have to qualify that. And the best qualification is the words of Jesus Christ himself. What did Jesus say? Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. What did he say to the thief on the cross? This day you'll be with me in paradise. Now, paradise or Abraham's bosom, they're both metaphors for being in the presence of God Almighty. There is, unfortunately, a pernicious heresy afoot today in many, many Protestant churches. And that heresy is that Jesus Christ did not finish the work of atonement on the cross. Rather, Jesus Christ had to go to hell and there finished the work of atonement. I actually wrote about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. There are prosperity preachers like Joel Osteen, and they have blatantly reconstructed the centrality of Christ's atonement in the face of Scripture, Scripture which plainly tells us that by his death, Jesus destroyed him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and you'll find that in Hebrews chapter 2. In face of that, Joel Osteen has Christ finishing the work of redemption in hell. So in his version of sacred scripture, not even that was sufficient to atone for our sins. After the resurrection, he says there still had to be a blood sacrifice for our sins. There still had to be a price paid. That is why Jesus commanded Mary not to touch him after the resurrection. Of course, that's nonsense. Why didn't Jesus want Mary to touch him, says Osteen? I'll tell you what it was. Jesus had just risen from the grave, and he still had his holy blood on him. It was this blood he was going to use as a sacrifice for our sins. In short, Jesus said, it is finished. Joel Osteen says the work had just begun. Where does this come from? Well, I read about this in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st century. It comes from the father of the Word of Faith movement, Kenneth Hagin, who said that spiritual death means something more than separation from God. Spiritual death also means having Satan's nature. Jesus tasted death, spiritual death, for every man. Jesus never took on the nature of Satan. Jesus was the unblemished lamb upon whom the sins of the world were laid. Again, further detail, Otherwise, I'll get a little long-winded on this particular issue. Further detail you can find in The Ostinification of American Christianity. I coined that word because he's the biggest of the bunch, talking about the faith bunch, who say that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. That is, incidentally, New Thought Metaphysics repackaged for Christian consumption. Again, I write about that in Christianity in Crisis under a section called Atonement Atrocities. So I think I took one from live calls. Let me see if I can get another Facebook question in. Uh-oh. Dr. James White has been very critical of you. I got into it with him on the Facebook page because he was condemning Orthodox Christianity in Ukraine. I have a home and a family there and know many devout people who would shame me in their simple faith. Look, I really don't want to get into a discussion on James White. I would pray for his ministry. Unfortunately, I have found all too often that he takes a person and makes a person say precisely the opposite of what that person is saying. Perhaps the classic example of that has to do with a group that we investigated for over 6 years, the progeny of Watchman Nee, who died in a communist prison camp. His protege, Witness Lee, was taken out of context in an open letter distributed at least to millions, I would think, in which he is made to say precisely the opposite of what he is saying. And the way you can know that is his statement is cut off, and then the statement by which he qualifies what he is saying is completely neglected. It's not just the following paragraphs or pages, but in the immediate context. And this is one of the things, I don't want to point this directly at James White, but I want to say this to everyone. This is not the way to conduct Christian dialogue. And James White wasn't the only one who did that. There are many people that signed this open letter where, whether you like him or not, Witness Lee, you know, that's not the issue. He was taken out of context, and that is beyond the peradventure of a doubt. In fact, I pointed this out directly to James White. But the point I want to make, a larger point, is let's not do that to one another. We must face, in a unified way, illiberal liberalism, Islam, and many other threats that seek to undo Christian civilization or civilization in general. So rather than divide in this manner, let's talk to one another in collegial fashion. I think we would get a whole lot farther in this way. If I'd have known that was the next Facebook question coming up, I probably wouldn't have addressed it, but I did. We'll be right back in just a few moments with the quote of the day and more answers right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
All Christians, but especially ones in college, must know what they believe and why they believe it if they have any hope of surviving with their faith intact. The reason, according to J. Warner Wallace, is obvious. College is almost like an atheistic ambush. Christians often enter the university arena totally unaware of the danger until it is too late. And that's why Wallace has written Forensic Faith. A homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith, as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense, and we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Because much of CRI's mission consists of equipping Christians with what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith, we think his new book, Forensic Faith, is a must-read. Wallace's book is a valuable and practical resource for every Christian who wants to know that his or her faith makes good sense and who wants to engage with seekers and skeptics based on the solid evidence for their faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day from Metropolitan Philaret of Moscow. I'll try to make it through this quote of the day, this prayer, as it were, really touches my heart. O Lord, I know not what to ask of thee. Thou alone knowest my true needs. Thou lovest me more than I myself know how to love. Help me to see my real needs, which are concealed from me. I dare not ask either a cross or consolation. I can only wait on thee. My heart is open to thee. Visit and help me. For thy great mercy's sake, strike me and heal me, cast me down and raise me up. I worship in silence thy holy will and thine inscrutable ways. I offer myself as a sacrifice to thee. I put all my trust in thee. I have no other desire than to fulfill thy will. Teach me how to pray. Pray thou thyself in me. Amen. If there are more beautiful prayers penned by humans, I don't know many of them. This is one of my all-time favorites. It is the quote of the day. It'll be up on the web on our Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and another reminder in that regard that visit the Facebook page, like the page, and if you enjoy listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, give it a review. That can be part of your contribution to expanding the outreach of the Christian Research Institute as you stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Remember, visit the Facebook page. It is the Bible Answer Man Facebook page that I have in mind here. We will try to cross-pollinate all the pages at some point, but it's the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. And remember the word like. It's a new one for me, but I'm getting used to using it. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Andrew, Kansas City, Kansas, listening on the web. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you.
Hey, quick question. Couple of us at church were talking about it. I think I heard about your forensic Christianity on the ad beforehand, but since you had kids growing up, I guess, what were some of the two or the three best ways you, I guess, could preach and keep and retain, you know, young adults, teenagers in the faith?
Yeah.
They have a tendency when they grow up to kind of wander off for a while.
You really have to model the Christian faith. I mean, if your kids see you as one thing in public and the other in private, it is the kiss of death. It is something that will repel them, particularly if you are supposedly an exemplar for the Christian faith. And I was in Singapore end of last year and Hong Kong with my 13-year-old. I was also visiting my daughter Christina, but I had a speaking engagement in Singapore, and then in Hong Kong, I had opportunity to have a dialogue or a debate with an atheist, and great to be able to visit my daughter, who's a Bible teacher now, and sometimes I think when I talk to her, she could probably do the show better than I could. She has just immersed herself in apologetics and in the Word of God, and why? She's seen my love for the Word of God, and hopefully, though I cannot transfer my faith to her, she has her own free will, she has seen the reality of the Christian faith, and now she's living that out in an exemplary fashion. So my son Xander, while we were in Hong Kong, it might have been Singapore, I can't remember exactly when he said this to me, but he did say to me, Dad, and he's 13 years old, smart, I mean, just gifted. But he said to me, Dad, if you were not my father, I would be an atheist. And that really pierced me, because he was pointing something out. Many kids his age are not seeing the authenticity of the Christian faith lived out. Where parents are, well, they're reordering their life, as I said earlier on the broadcast, around the divine. Where earthly things are wonderful as far as they go, but we have our sights set on something far more glorious. So what am I saying in that? Well, I'm trying to say what my son was saying. He was looking for authenticity. He wasn't looking for a deep well of knowledge. I know he appreciates that because he asked me questions all the time. And I'm always amazed at how he's remembered the answers weeks or months later. But he's looking for something authentic. He's looking for something that is not just a big wheelbarrow full of information, but a life. I was talking to one of my colleagues at the Christian Research Institute, and he reminded me of a quote that we think comes from Luther. I don't know if I can say it off the top of my head, but I think what he was saying to me is there is a cradle and there's an occupant for that cradle. The cradle being analogous to the Word of God. But we must never mistake the cradle for its occupant. That would be a serious error. And I think sometimes we mistake knowledge of Scripture for a relationship with Christ, a relationship that really means something. When you are in the midst of the cauldron of adversity, how do you react? Do you react in panic because your relationship with the Lord was based on a liver quiver, occasionally going to church, enjoying the show, being a consumeristic Christian? Or is your faith grounded in a relationship with the Lord? Well, when you are, as Spurgeon said, when you are in the refiner's fire, you find out whether your faith is just, a fad or something that can withstand all the fiery darts of the evil one, withstand all that swirls around you, and have a peace. Now, we're human beings. We're frail. I oftentimes say I have great faith in God, but I can tell you virtually every single day as I say, Lord, I trust in you alone, there's that little voice in the back of my head that says, you know what? Maybe so, but you trust a lot in yourself as well. And so I say, Lord, if there's any idol in my life other than you, if there's anything I'm placing my faith in, whether it's faith in my own faith, let that be gone. Because I know that you alone are worthy of my trust and faith. Much more could be said. So many questions coming in. Let me go to a question. I don't know if this is a Facebook question. I'll get back to the Facebook questions tomorrow. Have some updates on where I am physically tomorrow on the broadcast as well. Please, I mean, if I'm taking these other questions, but please don't neglect calling me live on the show. It's a both and. It's not an either or. So keep calling me at 888-ASK-HANK. David is writing in, and again, I forget, can't see what he's writing in on, whether this Facebook or not, but he says, Hank, you're definitely one of my heroes in the faith. Why did God honor the lives of so many great men in the Bible when they had more than one wife? I believe when the Bible tells us to have only one, we shouldn't have more than one wife. So why would God honor their lives? Hank, would God do that with a spiritual leader today? Wow, that is a complex question. A very good question as well. Look, I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Here's a plug for the ministry. Join our support team. I'll personalize a copy to you, a family member or a friend. But there's an entry on this. Does the Bible promote polygamy? Well, absolutely not. The ideal pattern of monogamous marriage, one woman, one man, was established early in Genesis. Remember the words. A man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. And that very passage was quoted by both Jesus and Paul in defense of the sacredness and exclusivity of monogamous marriage. A man and a woman. Not two men, not two women, not a party of lots of people, but one man, one woman. And then I would make the further point that the Bible explicitly condemns the polygamy of the Old Testament kings. I love the address. It's memorable. Deuteronomy 17:17. But it's not alone. The New Testament elders and the deacons are called to be the husband of but one wife. So just as the requirements for church leaders set a standard of morality and spiritual maturity for all believers, so I would say the admonition against polygamy for the kings of Israel demonstrated the danger of this practice for anyone that engages in it. The final point is simply this. God has disdain for polygamy. And that disdain is made manifest in the consequences of polygamy. The Old Testament clearly delineates the familial strife, the temptations that come along with doing this, with being polygamous. Of course, Solomon is the quintessential example. He had a legacy of faithfulness. I mean, I have memorized his Proverbs. They go over and over again in my mind. In fact, the quotation from Hebrews that I was quoting earlier, part of that quotation comes from Solomon. So he had a legacy of faithfulness, but that legacy was compromised because of his polygamous behavior. And despite his well-known wisdom, Solomon's peaceful and prosperous rule ended in idolatry. His wives turned his heart after other gods. So, bottom line, monogamy, not polygamy, is God's perfect plan. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My apologies to those that I did not get to live on the broadcast today. Also, the Facebook questions I didn't get to. We'll try to get to more of those tomorrow. And once again, I'm deeply grateful for you standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Christianity is on trial. Skeptics and critics set out to poke and prod followers of the Lord Jesus into thinking they believe in fairy tales. Tragically, many Christians are unprepared for the battle, and they surrender truth to flimsy and lame arguments. What is at stake? C.S. Lewis said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important." To develop a clear, evidence-based faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, read J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith. A homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.